Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Words of Wisdom. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God, always thanking God for the opportunity to be used by the Holy Ghost as a vessel to bring his word to his people. Not that I'm worthy, not that I'm so right, and I'm surely not perfect, but I use what I have to be faithful to God. There's so much going on, and the end of the year of 2019 is fast approaching. You're going to go to sleep a couple more nights and wake up, and it's going to be 2020. That is so amazing. And God still have us here. Y'all remember back when the year 2000 was coming in and everybody was in a panic and they were predicting all what was going to happen and what wasn't going to happen. And imagine in a couple of days, we will be in 2020. What a mighty God we serve. And with that being said, the title of our lesson tonight is, if God doesn't do anything else for us, I come to tell you tonight that he has already done enough. We're going to be in the book of Chronicles, the first Chronicles, chapter 17, and we're going to expound on verses 16 through 27. And for those who may have been studying the Universal Sunday School lesson that many of the churches use, this lesson tonight is the Sunday School lesson for Sunday coming. And I'm going to go ahead and play a song, and I'm going to ask if someone would like to lead us to the throne of grace for the last Bible study in 2019. I'm going to play this song right now, and the title of the song is Faithful is Our God. God is a faithful God. Oh, he's faithful. But you got to believe it to understand. And I hope when we do the lesson tonight, we'll see how David expressed himself when he fully understands how faithful and awesome God is. So I'm going to play the song, and we're going to come back. And we're going to go to the throne of grace in prayer.
Clap your hands, everybody. Come on. If God's been faithful, then sing along with us. Everybody say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful is our God.
Faithful is our God.
Come on, all over the world.
Faithful.
Say faithful.
Faithful,
faithful,
faithful
is our God.
Is our God.
Come on, faithful.
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 Faithful,
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 is, our
faithful
God.
Is our God.
Yes, he is. Come on, say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful,
faithful
is our God.
Is our God.
I'm reaping the harvest.
I'm reaping the harvest God promised me.
Take back what the devil stole from me. And I rejoice today, for I shall recover it all. Yes, I rejoice today.
Faithful is our God.
Yes, that song was Faithful is Our God. You know, sometimes you have to just sit down and think about what God has done and doing and promised to do in your life. You know, even if you don't realize it, God is faithful. God is faithful. Because if he said it, he'll do it. So now it's time to go to the throne of grace. And I'm asking if anyone would please lead us to the throne of grace in prayer for our last Bible study for the year 2019. God is extending an opportunity. So all you have to do is press the one button on your phone, and I will open up your mic. Thank you so much, Minister Mackey. Your mic is open, and you could come to us any way that God is leading you.
Yes, so God. God, we just come to thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for this year that you have carried us through, oh God. God, we thank you for those that you have given strength to, Lord God. We thank you for those that you saved throughout this year, Lord God. God, and we especially thank you for those that you brought home to be with you, because your word declares absent from the body is present with the Lord. And God, we just bless your name this evening. God, we thank you because we realize that we are vessels, oh God. And we ask that you would mold us and shape us into vessels unto honor, that we would be meet for your use. And in everything we do, we will give you the glory. We'll give you the honor. We'll give you the praise. God, we thank you for opening up the eyes of our understanding throughout this year, oh God. We thank you for enlightening us in your word, because we recognize it's your word that cleanses. It's your word that purifies us. It's your word that keeps us, oh God. God, we thank you for your word, because your word is a lamp unto our feet and it is a light unto our path. And we thank you because you obey us heirs of God and join heirs with Christ. And for that, we are grateful. God, we're grateful for Minister Diane tonight, oh God, that she would come and give a word that would encourage hearts and strengthen in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you for the base scripture that she stands on, that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because your word declares if we abide in you and your word abide in us, we could ask what we will, and it shall be given unto us, oh God. You said that set our afflictions on things above and not on things on the earth. You said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. And we thank you, Lord God, that we were able to seek spiritual things, oh God. We were able to build our treasures in heaven, oh God, where rust can't corrupt it, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for your word, because your word is what's keeping us. It strengthens us, oh God. Your word declares that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you know how to deliver us out of them all. And for that, we are grateful. We are so grateful, Lord God, for this year, oh God, that we still in the land of the living, that we still standing, that our faith stands firm in you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we have grown and we will continue to grow in your knowledge, Lord, because you say with all our getting, get understanding, and we thank you for understanding this afternoon. It is in Jesus' name that I call it all done. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Minister Mackey, for all of your faithfulness and your songs and your prayers throughout the years. Thank you for being committed to Wednesday night Bible study and playing the part that God has assigned to you. I am thankful and I'm grateful. And I pray that God continue to bless you and your family throughout
yes,
all
yes,
of your journey.
Yes, oh
in
God.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So we're going to look at this lesson And the title of the lesson is, if God does not do anything else for us, and like I said earlier, I come to tell you tonight, he already has done enough. We coming from 1 Chronicles 17:16-27. And tonight I'm going to do a little background on David, who was the author of this psalm. And many people believe that David wrote the book of Psalms, but David wrote some of the chapters, and some of the other chapters was written by someone else. So David didn't complete the entire book of Psalms by himself. But I want you to know, we can learn a lot from the life of David. You know, God called him a man after his own heart. You got to know that if you have a heart for God, it's the only way God can prepare us to be used. You know, we are first in the Bible introduced to David after Saul, the first king of Israel. You see, the tribes of Israel were living in a confederation under certain leaders and judges who gave the rules and ordinance for the people. God wanted the people to always look at him as their king. But at the insistence of the people, God made Samuel king. And I know this is kind of like a lesson for us today, because we have leaders all around the world, and we have a leader in the White House, our president. And many people couldn't believe that he won the election. And many people still wondering how he won it. Many people have come up with a decision that he's not the best for the position. And some people believe that maybe he is. But there's a lot of cry in the nation. And unbelief of the things that's going on. But you see, just like the people of Israel insisted on a king, and God rejected the idea of a king, he went on and he allowed it. God didn't orchestrate it, but he allowed it. You see, but Saul did not measure up as God's king. While Saul was king, he made one mistake on top of another. God sent Samuel, his prophet, to find his chosen king. Samuel went to the house of Jesse, where God had sent him, and Jesse had several boys, and Jesse was supposed to pull the oil on the boy, and when the oil do what it was supposed to do, they would know that it was the king. Jesse first looked at one of the boys, and he was good looker. He was tall. He had stature. And Samuel thought that surely this is the anointed one. But I come to tell you tonight, God do not look at things that people look at. God has never decided what to do and not to do for you because of the way you look. And you got to remember, your looks and design was orchestrated and designed by God before the foundation of the world. And in Psalms 139, he said he formed you in your mother's womb. Come on, y'all. You see, people look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You see, seven of Jesse's sons were looked over because the way the oil flowed. God hadn't chose none of them. Samuel asked Jesse, you must have another son. He said, I got a little struggling boy. That's my youngest boy, and he likes to be with the sheep, and he don't smell that good, and he don't often come in because he sleep with them, he eat with them, he tend the sheep, my youngest boy, David. Samuel said, you have to call him in. Jesse called David in. Samuel poured the oil on David. And the rest is history. At that time, David was only between the age of 12 and 16. But from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. You know, when we talk about the sovereignty of God, that's saying that God can use and do whatever he wants with whoever he wants. See, David was a part of God's master plan, and you have to get it in your spirit and believe in your heart that God has a specific design and plan for your life as well. You see, much of David's life was something. We know the story of David. He was on the rooftop. He saw Bathsheba. He liked her. He called her. He went into her. She got pregnant. David knew he had committed sin. But the thing was, she was pregnant. So not only did he commit sin, and now he's got to cover it up. He did. He made a plan to trick her husband. But when the plan didn't work, he made another plan to have her husband killed. You see, you got to realize in life, you could cover your sin up, but the consequences of your sins still remain. David had Uriah killed. So that was shedding the blood on his hands. But much of David's shedding of blood was a result of the war. But, you know, Uriah, that was different. And because of that, David told the prophet Nathan to tell David that the sword would not depart from his house. And David's household had much trouble from that time on. Y'all read the story about David and see what happened to his children. One son raped the daughter, the sister, and the sister brother killed the son, and some of the children went to take David down, and it just was a whole house of cards. But through it all, God used David to author most of the Psalms. You know, a common shepherd boy with great confidence in God's faithfulness. He honored authority because if you know the story of Saul, he loved David in the beginning. But when David light began to shine, I'm going to say it like that, and people began to notice that he began to hate David. But David respected him. And even though he sought to kill David, and David had many incidents where he could kill him, he didn't. He didn't. You know, he fled for his life and became king against whom all future kings of Israel would be measured. And remember, David killed the giant. Y'all know the story. David killed Goliath. He also fell into grave sin many times. And his family suffered for the result of it many times. But through it all, David turned to God and trusted him. You see, this reliance on God and continual pursuit of a relationship with God is part of what makes David a man after God's heart. Yes, the scriptures let us know that David messed up, but David knew how to humble himself and repent. See, we got to admit our wrong before we could repent. So sometimes we have to just fess up, repent, and keep it moving. While David had many weaknesses in his life, he sought to be obedient and humble before God. And God promised David a descendant of his household would rule on the throne forever. What a mighty God we serve. And we're going to go into our lesson tonight. And for those who just came on the line, we in 1 Chronicles 17, 16 through 27. And I'm going to read verses 16 through 20 first. We're going to expound on them. But before we start reading, I ask everybody if they would read the entire chapter. I know sometimes you do and sometimes you maybe don't have time to do it. But this verses 16 through 17 in 1 Chronicles, the 17th chapter, is a prayer that David is praying. And if you read the first part of the chapter, you would see he was praying to God and really acknowledging all that God had did for him. And he was telling God, I know who you are. But David had to do some reflecting. So the scripture read verse 16. And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hither? When David said, who am I? He's saying, I'm not all of that in a bag of chips. Lord, I'm not worthy. But that's what he said. You see, he said, and David the king sat down before the Lord and said, see, David is coming before the Lord. So look at this as a prayer and David praying to God when we go through this. He said, who am I, O Lord? And what is thy house that thou hast brought me hither? He said, God, you're awesome. I don't deserve it. And then we look at 17, he said, and yet this is a small thing in thy eyes, O Lord, for thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come. He said, yeah, Lord, you know, it's what you gave him is beautiful. It's better than anybody's house and anything that anybody have in the land. And I know it's a small thing to you, but I want to say thank you. He's saying you've been saying this for a long time because when I was young and heard the scriptures and you talk about the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our forefathers, and how you was going to deal with them and deal with the nation and how you was going to deal with us. And now I'm in that position to receive what you had to say. See, that's what David is saying in his prayer. He's saying, you has regarded me according to an estate. A state is everything you own. Of a man of high degree, O Lord God. 18, what can David speak more to thee for the honor of thy servant? He said, because thou knowest me. He said, what else could I say, Lord? You know my good, you know my bad, and you know my ugly. I can't take no credit. You know me. And verse 19 says, O Lord, for thy servant's sake and according to thy own heart, hast thou done all this greatness. He said, you did it for me, thy servant's sake, and according to your own heart, which is the will of God. Thou hast done all this greatness, and you're making known all these great things. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. And if we look at 20, it says, O Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any God besides thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And I've already told you that this is a prayer, but let's look at what David, how David was structuring his prayer in this first part of his prayer. He let God know he wasn't worthy. And then he came back and he told God all you did for me. And then he said, how you have raised me up, O Lord. He said, I can't tell you no more because you already know me. You know? You know my bad, dear God. You know my good. And you see, even though David may have committed many sins, God could forgive them all. Because that's the kind of God we serve. Come on, y'all. And David went on to pray, and when he got to the telling God how good he is, how good God is, and how good, how unrighteous he as a man is, and he said, the Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any God besides thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Have you heard enough to realize that God is the one and that his son is the Savior and that the Holy Ghost is living inside of you? David said, all that we heard with our ears. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we hear. And what do we do with it once we hear it is the question tonight. You see, and what I did at this time, I went to the beginning of the chapter in case some of you didn't have time to read it. And for those who read it, we'll just be touching and agreeing together. But the first chapters, the first verses before we get to the 16 in this chapter is God reminding David all that he had done, all what he was doing, and all that he promised to do. See, that's what God was doing. You see, at the time when God was telling David all of this, David was sitting in his house that was made of cedar. And you see the opening of 16 say, and David sat before God. David in his house made with cedar. And God had told him everything he had did in verses 1 through 15. And now he realized that the Ark of the Covenant of God was still in the tent. For those who don't understand or know what the Ark of the Covenant was, the Ark of the Covenant was a box. And inside the box was a few things. I think it was Moses' rod in there. They had some pieces of mammon in there. And the Spirit of God was, that was the dwelling place for God, where he was when he dwelt among his people. The Ark of the Covenant represent God's presence. So they had the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken away. When they would have battle and the people would come, they tear the temple down and they would steal the Ark of the Covenant, and they didn't have it. And then God said, it's time for my covenant to come back to my people, and he let them go into war. And whoever they was fighting, they went and they bring the covenant, the ark back. So now the Ark of the Covenant was returned. And David had, well, the Ark of the Covenant was in a tent. And the tent was outside of David's home. David, this is a time when David was praying and right when God was saying it. So we see that the Ark of the Covenant was in there. So David told his prophet Nathan that he was going to build a house, a temple for God, so the Ark of the Covenant could be in there. And Nathan said, do whatever you think you should do towards God. See, and that lets us know we sometimes have to watch who we take advice from. And Nathan was a good man, and he wasn't trying to give bad advice, but he probably thought that building a temple, a house for God, was a good thing, so he encouraged David. But you see, God came to Nathan and told Nathan, no, David was not the one to build my house. You see, God said that David had a lot of blood on his hand. Remember, as we talked in the introduction earlier, and you see, he tried to cover his sin, but it just compounded the situation. So sometimes you got to just go ahead and fess up. And you even see that David had the power to kill a giant. Even though we could fight many giants in our lives, there may be some giants that is holding so close to us that they have become strongholds. But we just got to keep fighting and keep pressing towards the mark until we die. You see, God reminded him, if y'all read that, it's so sweet, but in those verses 1 through 15, God took time and he reminded him, look, man, my ark has been in a tent ever since y'all left Israel. He said, y'all been moving me in and out the tent, one tent to another tent. He's saying, this is what y'all been doing. God said, look, I never complained or told the leaders at that time and other judges, because remember, before there was kings, there was judges. He said, it goes way back then when I've been in tent. He's saying, I never told none of the judges or the other leaders or asked them, why am I still in tent? He said, but now I speak to you, David. You are the one that I took out of the field with the sheep to be ruler over my people. I have been with you and cut off all your enemies, and I made your name here the greatest. Put your name up there with the greatest men on earth. I have given thee a land so you can have a place of your own, my people, my nation. He's saying, I will build you a house. And when you die, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, and one of your sons will I build my kingdom forever. You see, so God told him all of that in verses 1 through 15, and then David is sitting down and he began this prayer. So I hope it makes more understanding, you know, give you more understanding. You see, David now humbled himself as he reflects on the many blessings and all the provisions that God had granted towards him. God had given him a beautiful home. David said, I'm setting in my house a cedar, as he had promised in the verses above. Hallelujah. You see, you got to read that 1 through 15 when God really tapped him on the shoulder and say, hey, wait a minute. Let me tell you about yourself. And that's what God is doing us many times, but we're not taking heed to what he said. You know, so David say, you know, I'm the one that promised you a house. I'm the one promised you a kingdom. I'm the one who protected you. I'm the one held back. You know, God is telling him all that, and then David began to pray. He had given him the house and promised, and God had promised it to him, as I said earlier, for a long while, because that was the promise made to Abraham. David winds up and says, I know there's none like you. Read it as a prayer when you get off the phone. Meditate on it. And then when we go to verse 21, we're going to read 21 through 23. And it reads, and what one nation in the earth is like thy people Israel. Now, this is David again. Now he's acknowledging what God wants him to do. And early he may have been a little teed off because David really wanted to build the temple for God. And God sent Nathan and told him, not you, hallelujah, but your son. And you see, you got to accept when God says no. And he said, what one nation in the earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people, to make thee a name of greatness and trembleness, by driving out nations from before thy people whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt. For thy people Israel, didst thou make thy own people forever. He said, didn't you have taken, made Israel the promised people, a promised nation? That's, you know, he talking to God. And thou, Lord, becamest their God. You made them a nation, and you became their God. He said, I know that. He scorned and said, therefore now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken. He said, God, everything that you said, I believe if you said it, it's going to come to pass. He said, but let the things that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as thou sayest. I don't think David was getting a little smart, but David knew you could always go to him to pray in God and call God on what he had said. And that's what David was doing. You see, David was letting God know how great he is. You see, David referenced to Israel, exited from Egypt here, has a special significance to the original readers who he was writing to. See, they had been delivered out of Egypt, and now they're being delivered out of Babylon, where they had been captured for 70 years, and the Ark of the Covenant that was now returning. See, he's telling them the greatness of God. And just like he used the Exodus for Egypt for them to reflect upon, you sit down like David did and reflect on the many things that God has done in your life, and not only your life, but your family and your nation and your city and your neighbors and your friends. Reflect on that. He called that up because they would remember and they would give God honor and praise, but we have to do the same thing in our lives. You see, and some may look at this and say, well, then if you ask me to read the verses 1 through 15 in chapter 17, and God said he would remove all of the enemies from them and he would protect them from all of his enemies, how are we speaking about captivity, bondage in Egypt, and captivity in Babylon? Well, I'm going to tell you tonight, and I hope you could use it. You see, some of God's promises are conditional, and others are unconditional. You see, God used their army, their enemy, the Babylon, to punish them. He didn't just want it to happen, but he had a condition if they would follow him. He had a condition if they would obey him. He had a condition for that to continue to happen, but they didn't. So he used their enemies to punish them. And I talk about orchestrate and allow all the time, but I want you to know the captivity in Babylon was one that he orchestrated. And he could do it because he's God. And God uses everything he created for his glory. And yes, he said, I will hold back your enemies as long as you obey me. See, that was a promise with a condition. You see, your sons will build me a house. And I will establish his throne and kingdom forever. When you read this, you think about Solomon. You know, God did not allow David to build his house, the temple. But God allows Solomon. Sorry, you guys. God didn't allow David to build a temple, but he allowed Solomon to build a temple. He made Solomon the wisest and the greatest man to ever live till this day. He was also the richest. That was the son of David. You think God wasn't making his promises come true for taking care of David's ancestors? Well, really, well, it would be his ancestors. God made a promise. So he promised to take care of all of David's generations. Let me say it like that. And then that's what he did. David have a son, and I think my mute had came on, so I'm going to just back it up just a little bit. What I was saying, God was talking about their captivity in Babylon, David was speaking of their bondage in Egypt and their exiting out. And another thing had happened that at this time when David was speaking is when they was being released from Babylon and the Ark of the Covenant was coming back, excuse to them, that he was talking. And you see, some might say, well, Sister Diane, since God said he would take care of enemies, why are they in captivity in Babylon? And then you got to know that some of God's promises are conditional and some are unconditional. You see, God used their enemies to punish them. Because you see, God can use everything he created for his glory and for his good. You see, God said, I will hold back your enemies if you obey me. See, that was a promise with a condition. And then he said, I will make your son the King, all the way through eternity. One of your son will build my house, and I will establish his throne and kingdom forever. You see, that's unconditional. You see, God made the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they came on down the line, but that promise didn't say, I'm going to give it to you if Abraham and Isaac and Jacob learn how to be perfect or make no mistakes. See, it was unconditional that one of the heirs of the of David would build the house and establish the kingdom, and it would be forever. God say, yes, I will be with you through the hardest times, and I will be with you because I promise never to leave. You see, when God promised us never to leave, it's unconditional. Do you understand it? So God talked about David's son, and in this particular passage, he's talking about Solomon. And in the scheme of God's master plan from the before the foundation to eternity, he's talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus is called the Son of David. Hallelujah. So God's unconditional promise of a ruling king from the line of David, from the tribe of Judah, will stand forever. Ever and ever and ever, unconditionally. And God has so many unconditional promises for your life, but there are also some conditional ones. And if we look at verse 24 said, let it even be established that thy name may be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is God of Israel, even a God of Israel, and let the house of David, thy servant, be established before thee. After it's all over and after every earthly man has gone, Jesus come back with the rapture and we go into the new Jerusalem, Jesus going to reign on his throne in the kingdom of God forever. Unconditional promise. And 25 say, for thou, O Lord God, hast told thy servant with whom wilt him, who will build him a house. Therefore, thy servant has found in his heart to pray before thee. Do you have any reason to pray to God? David is saying, because you have told me this, he said, that's why I pray before thee. And 26 say, and now, Lord, thou art God and has promised his goodness unto thy servants. He said, thank you, Jesus. And 27 say, now, therefore, let it please thee. David is telling God, let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee forever. For thou bless it, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. Yes, God bless it forever. Jesus is now and should be the ruler of our lives. But it's going to be one day when Jesus is going to be our king. He should be the king of your life now, but he's going to rule as the king with all power in his hand. And oh, what a happy day that's going to be. And that's why the Bible tells us we should always say, come, Lord Jesus, come. You see, here it is reminding, David here is reminding God of his promises. And I want you to know that's a great thing. Lord, you promised me that I would be the lender and not the borrower. You told me you would take my enemies and place them as my footstool. You told me the firm and effectual prayer of the righteousness availeth much. You told me, God, you told me that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. God, you told me if I seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, that all things will be added to me. Lord, I humbly come before you and I use your words. It's a good thing. You see, David is praying using God's words that God had told him and reminding him of, which for us is the same today when we use. He was using God's words through the prophets to him and through the scriptures, and we use the words of God, our Holy Bible. And then David automatically is giving God the praise and the honor and the glory he deserves.
Yeah, callers, I'm so sorry. But we back, and we still have time. But what I was saying at that time was, here David is giving God the praise, the honor, and the glory he deserves. And I want you to know, when we are obedient, and we give God praise and honor, that's what is true worship. You know, you be in a church sometime and a man singing a song or the lady, they say, hold up your hands and give God the praise. That's fine and good. But if you really got to be told, how true is it? But he's giving God the glory, the honor, and the praise he deserves. And that's true worship. As if all of this, as if David finally realized, finally got it, went to God in prayer like we all should do. Express God to God how good he is. Express God about how good David, he himself is not. Give God all the honor and the praise and bring God's word back to him is what we do, we should do. And all of this is as if David is saying, God, if you don't do anything else for me, you have already done enough. And that's our lesson for today. If anyone would like to say anything, you could press the one button on your phone. And if you guys would like to see something new in the new year, a new something you want taught on, or something you want for us to visit, or whatever it may be, you could press the one button on your phone at this time. If you're too shy to make your request on the phone, you could call a prayer line, and I'll be able to get it from there. But if no one has anything to say tonight, and everybody is okay, we'll go ahead on, no, a caller. Caller, your number is 407-680. Your mic is open.
Yes, hello. I just want to say that I came on this call a little late, and I appreciate the word that you gave. And it's great that I named my son David after from the Bible as well. Yes, he's 1 year old. And I have a prayer request. I would like to ask God to bless me with a good pen job right now. I have a job right now, but it's not a permanent job. It's through an inspection agency. But this company is the company that I have always applied for to try to get a permanent job with this company. So I just want to thank God for blessing me with opportunity to be with this company, even though it's through a staffing agency. I'm just asking him to open up a door for me, even if he opened up a permanent position with this company for me. So that's where I would like to be prayed for. My name is Mimi.
Mimi?
No, Nene.
Mimi?
Yes.
Nene. Okay, Sister Nene. Our prayer line coordinator is on the phone, and she's going to take your name as well. And if you like, every first of the month, which we're going to pray for you tonight, but every first of the month, we read off our names that's on our prayer list. And everybody, and since you on 9, I pray that you continue to come back or ask to pray for one another. And since you came in a little late tonight, I want to let you know that I do have a Block Talk radio station. And every lesson that I have done since 2012 is on the station. And I sent out a notice every week as far as what the chapters and the verses for the lesson is going to be, so you could read it and you could come in, you know, with some information. I also sent out a text on between Sunday and hopefully Monday of each week saying what the lesson's going to be about to give you time to read and, you know, study and meditate on it. So if you like, since I saw your number and I have a name for you, if you like me to put you in with sending out the notices, I will. And if you don't, then I won't.
Yeah. I would like that. Yes.
Okay, so I will add you on the list, and you'll get whatever scriptures and wherever we coming from. And every time you hear a lesson, like you press the one, and if you want to expound on the lesson, you can. If you want to add to it, ask for prayer, give encouragement. When you press the one button on your phone, I can open the mic, and everybody can hear you. But I want to let you know that once you call in, I can't hear anything in your house because people were so nervous at the children crying. We can't hear no, you know, anything that's going on in your house unless you press the one button and I open the mic.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Sister Nene, and I thank God for you calling in tonight, and it is my prayer that you continue to call. And what I'm going to do at this time is get our prayer warrior, because I'm sure she done already made notations of your name, and she could lead us out in prayer and go to God's throne of grace and mercy on your behalf on tonight. So, Sister Pam?
Yes.
Sister Pam? Yes, did you hear the request of Sister Nene?
Yes, ma'am.
And can you bring her request to God and lead us out in prayer for tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
Your mic is, you could come to us any way you want.
Lord, we just want to give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. Father, we thank you for allowing us
thanking you for allowing your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. But, Father, we know that the story didn't end there. But on the third day, he rose again with all power in his hand and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord, we thank you for leaving us a comforter, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your compassion. Lord Jesus, we thank you for salvation. We thank you, Lord, for our Bible study every Wednesday night. We thank you for our sister in Christ, Minister Diane. Lord, we pray that you keep her covered in your precious blood so that each and every Wednesday night she brings forth your word to us, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're still to do. Lord, we just want to praise your name. We just want to lift you up and magnify your name. But, Lord, we're asking a special prayer tonight for our sister, Sister Nene. She's praying for a permanent job. Lord, we know that you're going to allow that to happen for her if it's your will, Jesus. But, Lord, long as she depend, believe, and trust in you, all things are possible. Lord, we just thank you to continue to bless our prayer and our Bible study. Pray and bless each person that is listening on the line with us each and every Wednesday night. Lord, we just ask you to just help us to live each day with a thankful heart, Lord Jesus, with a grateful and everything that good, no matter what it is, whether it's big or small, that God has done in our lives, Lord, we give you all the praise, we give you all the glory, and we give you all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and thank God.
And I have to just say thank you. Thank you so much, Sister Pam, for being our prayer warrior throughout the whole year.
Thank you, Jesus.
For laying and praying on our prayer list. For keeping
thank
a record
Lord.
Of all those who ask for prayer. And all those who have received the blessing. We go
yes,
to
Lord.
God and pray. And we let others know a praise reports. For that I say thank you. And I continually to pray that God continue to bless you as well. And I want to thank you so much for what you're doing.
Welcome.
In Jesus' name.
Welcome.
Thank you. Well, this is our last lesson for 2019. I want y'all to remember that next week, New Year's, is Wednesday. We come on every Wednesday night, but even though it's the holidays, we still do our Bible study. I want to tell y'all one thing. Somebody told me, well, you don't take a break. I told her, neither do Satan. Satan don't take no holidays off. He don't take no time out. He don't take no personal time off, and he don't take no leave of absence. And we have to stop putting God on a shelf for different things. Be faithful, whatever he gave you. So we won't be on Wednesday. We will be on Thursday. And Thursday is the second. Wednesday is the first. And Sister Nene, I'm going to send you the information for the online link that you could go on. And you could catch this lesson from the beginning. I think you may have to wait an hour for it to process. But after that, you could do it in the comfort of your home anytime, 24 hours, and you could pick up the beginning of this lesson. But I'm going to text that information to you and give you the prayer line number as well. I want to thank everybody in the United States of America. And I also have to thank the other countries that calls on the line, because I get a record of everybody that call and where they, you know, where the calls are coming from. And I want to say thank you to South Africa. Hallelujah. South Africa is the largest amount of listeners I have after the United States. And I also have to give a thanks to the United Kingdom, because they are next in line behind South Africa. And then there's Canada. And then there's Nigeria. I want to thank each and every one of you from taking time from your schedule to come back week after week. This is called commitment, and God honored it, honors it, and so do I. I want each and every one of you to know on the line, calling on your cell phone, however you may be getting a lesson, I want to tell you thank you from the bottom of my heart. I want to also let you know that we'll continue in the year 2020 if God says the same. But I love each and every one of you, and I thank God for each and every one of you. And I pray that we pray for one another. And as I get ready to close right now, my desire is that you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our lesson for tonight. I love y'all so much. I thank God for you so much. And I just want you to be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. And we're about to go off air, but if someone have a desire to say something, you can press the one button on your phone, and I will give you an opportunity, because this is the last time in the year of 2019. Minister Elyria, you couldn't give me another prompt because you had already prayed. Is there anything you would like to say?
No, just that I've been blessed, and that
thank
we all
so
are
much.
Blessed and highly favored.
Praise the Lord. And if anyone else would like to say anything, you could press the button. If not, I'm going to go, Sister Nene, I'm only coming back to you because when you press the one button once, I get a prompt. But if you press it again, I won't be able to see the prompt. So I didn't know if you wanted to say something. Plus, I'm giving you the rules of the station. But I didn't know if you wanted to say something. And if you don't, you don't have to.
No, I didn't have nothing else to say.
But thank you for calling, and I pray you be
You're
with
welcome.
Us on next week.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's,
You're welcome.
You are welcome as well. So with all of that being said, I want to tell you guys good night, and I want you to remember that God loves you, and so do I. Be blessed, and have a great new year. A great new year. In Jesus' name, amen.